This morning, I once again invite us into a shared practice of what's called Lectio Divina, the ancient practice most often used by Christians, which literally means reading prayerfully. In your orders of service, you will find a yellow sheet with a poem on it. I ask that you pull that out, but don't read it yet. I know that's going to be hard for some of us. I'm going to read it out loud, and I invite you to take in the words. Receive the distractions brought forth by certain phrases, and then just put them aside. Listen first, prayerfully, meditatively, and then I will read it again, inviting you to read along. Then, once again, an invitation for you to consider once again this living text and how it speaks. The poem is entitled, Each of Us Has a Name. Each of us has a name, given by God and given by our parents. Each of us has a name, given by our stature and our smile, and given by what we wear. Each of us has a name, given by the mountains and given by our walls. Each of us has a name, given by the stars and given by our neighbors. Each of us has a name, given by our sins and given by our longing. Each of us has a name, given by our enemies and given by our love. Each of us has a name given by our celebrations and given by our work. Each of us has a name given by the seasons and given by our blindness. Each of us has a name given by the sea and given by our deaths. If you would like to read the words as I speak them, I invite you to take out that paper now and follow along in silence. And once again, if this time you wish to pause or rest in a phrase or word, do so as I continue forward. Each of us has a name, given by God and given by our parents. Each of us has a name given by our stature and our smile and given by what we wear. Each of us has a name given by the mountains and given by our walls. Each of us has a name given by the stars and given by our neighbors. Each of us has a name given by our sins and given by our longing. Each of us has a name given by our enemies and given by our love. Each of us has a name given by our celebrations and given by our work. Each of us has a name given by the seasons and given by our blindness. Each of us has a name given by the sea and given by our death. Take a deep breath and when you're ready, come back. Last week, I spoke of where I believed this congregation was in its formation, and a bit about where I believe we are going. I spoke of some of the challenges and invitations of how this place is a people, always growing, but still also always the legacy of how we began. It was a subtle entry into our theme for this month of identity, and one that we will likely need to revisit again and again. The definition of identity is the set of characteristics by which a person or a thing is known. So for the congregation, our identity might be bucolic, historic, faith-based. But it's also found in the name given by our predecessors and by our neighbors, by our failures and by the things that we love. Unitarian Universalist, justice-oriented church. Some of us say congregation. Identities and names shift over time and in part are bound by what and with whom we are in relationship. It is, of course, true of ourselves as individuals. Just think for a moment once again of the words and memories that came forward as you heard or read that poem. Some, I imagine, rushed back into a story of laughter or regret. Others to a place of memory or ease. Within each of us, there is a whole host of identities, given and chosen, that we resist and that stifle, that are growing on us or that we are growing into. It is important that we know these identities, these names, for they move us through the world in ways that are as obvious as they are quiet. There is legacy and dedication, expectation and story in what we are called and how we are named. Children named for their grandparents' strong spirit or the beauty of a national park. There is the intimacy by those who love us, who see us in their own familiar way. Kimmy Sue was the only name I was known by my parents well into my teenage years, and a name none of you are allowed to repeat ever again. I told them Robin. Now it's, I know. But there are also the limitations in what others hear. Deshaun and Shanice are 50% less likely to get a job interview than Cody and Caitlin. When I asked some Chalice Circle participants which names and identities they resisted, each woman in the room said, "I've never wanted to be a man, but sometimes I hate the repercussions of being a woman." Then there is the distance, the titles, the formalized barriers that names make possible, the cacophonous sounds that title our lives by our orientations, the color of our skin, the money or towns that we've been born into. And of course, the identities that change with time, the ones that once bridged your heart or work to the world and are now left to be discovered, to be remembered by some, to be recognized if asked. Our names and identities hold importance. They move us or stop us within the world in obvious and quiet ways, and our spirits follow. Isaiah 43 from the Hebrew Bible says, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." The Reverend Dr. James Germinian, a Congregationalist minister, says of that text, "Buried in that passage is the line that arrests me every time. I have called you by name, you are mine." It is a line that is at the same moment sublimely comforting and deeply troubling. Isn't that what the God-shaped vacuum in each of us cries out for, he asks? Someone who knows our name? I love this passage, and I always have. I don't believe in or take comfort in the creationism or even the theology, really, but this ancient poetry of promise has always reminded me, always challenged me to ask, what is my name? And not, what is the name given by my neighbors or even by my parents, by my failings or the things I love, but what is the name the sacred would call me? The name the universe, the lineage of stardust, the connective tissue of the beautiful web. What name, if I could hear it, what would it, what does it still call me? Perhaps it is easier on my spirit that I don't come across that passage as often as I used to, or that I don't ask us to consider that poem from this morning as often as I wish I could. The question elicits a deep affection within me, but also a horrendous ache. For it is that name, I believe, that is often the hardest to hear, to believe exists. The thing we've learned to disassociate from, or just forgotten about ourselves. That inherent, perfect identity of being and always have been enough or forgiven, a child to be claimed, bold or tender, named. Reverend Germinian's reflection on that Isaiah passage continues by saying, so much of human endeavor is just this, an effort to be known, because that is how we overcome the elemental aloneness that is built into our very being. What we hope for, long for, isn't at all some intellectual assent, some reasoned position, some theological certainty calling itself faith. It is relationship. Isn't that what is implied, he asks, by I have called you by name? Perhaps it is an unfair break in the covenant between you and I, between minister and congregation, where here especially we always begin with the joy of community, the promise of connection. But we are each lonely, at points unseen, afraid we will be unclaimed, without identity, without a name. And the cavern in a heart from which that aloneness has made a home weeps. And I entirely believe speaks in the world today through our structures and people of power, through our rates of divorce and addiction, in our ease behind the computer screen and our comfort with a drink in hand. Theist or not, God personified or not, we have fallen out of the practice of hearing our relationship with the universe. Convinced ourselves of some kind of false independence and self-madeness. And in all the other ways we so easily disbelieve, I fear we have also stopped believing that we can be known, that we would be claimed. The world has been working hard and for a long time to quiet that voice within and the attentive ears that listen beyond. We have been distracted in being called a lot of names. We have been swept up and called others a lot of names. But now is the time to find the power in the places that have been hidden. In the versions of ourselves that we have forgotten, in the principles we've simply stated without much depth or work to believe, in the risky and messy, awkward and vulnerable work of claiming and being claimed, of naming and being named. Perfect. Let me just say this. This is not just an exercise in thinking about who we are and all the nuance that makes up our lives. Though if that has awakened something within you or unveiled something about another, our time has been purposeful. This isn't really even to begin thinking about who we truly are, stripped of the titles, of the accolades, of the commutes or orientations. There is power in knowing whose we are. There is life in remembering that there is something that will call us back, call us by name to our best selves, our most possible selves, if we make it a practice to listen and recognize the sound that calls out to our hearts. We need that these days. We need to remember and know deep within our most kernel of a self that even in our aloneness, we are not alone. We are not alone even in the fear that we are changing or being named against our will or unsure of who we are. Our names and identities, each of them, all of them, the ones still to be discovered, hold great importance. They move us through the world in obvious and quiet ways. We must learn them, remember them, for our spirits follow. So if each of us has a name, what is yours? And what is ours? May it be heard from deep within a place of memory and fill you up. Fill you up so there is no room to weep. Blessings to each of us, and blessed be.